From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Thank you for tuning in to episode number 126, where I am joined by extraordinary man David Northfield. David has recently got into health optimization and well-being through natural nutrition and biohacking and has just started his new podcast, Northfields.space. David has been on a transformation journey since January 2019. He was seriously overweight with a lack of motivation to improve and was over 19 stone, which is 266 pounds or 120 kilograms, drank beer, ate heavy meals and passed out every night. He lost about 50 kilograms, which is 110 pounds, through a ketogenic lifestyle and intermittent fasting. David is now healthy, fit, and seriously motivated to help himself and the people around him. Chatting to David has inspired me to look up videos about Qigong on YouTube. I found a couple that look relatively easy to follow and am determined to start trying it out. It would seem like a great thing to do at the moment. I imagine a lot of you are in lockdown at home and finding it hard. I know many of you are out there in the thick of it, putting yourselves at risk to help us out. So a big shout out to all of you and a massive thank you hug. Virtual podcast hugs are definitely on the allowed list. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome, David, to the Keto Woman podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
People will pick up there a British accent. It's nice to share my podcast base with a fellow Brit.
Yeah, great stuff.
I was just saying before we started, listeners won't appreciate this, but you have a fantastic painting behind you with this tree that looks like it's growing out of your head. You said your brother's the artist.
Yes, that's right. Maybe I'll have to send you a picture of it.
So you can, we'll have to. It's great.
You can post it on somewhere.
We were saying you're all set up. You'll tell us about that later, but you're all set up to make videos. So you've obviously staged a little bit the scene behind you, much better than mine, which is my messy bedroom.
Yeah.
So Tell us about you.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm David Northfield. Recently, I've been on a one-year transformational journey. Yeah, it started about last year, around about this time, actually.
Was it a typical New Year's resolution?
Well, it was. I've been meaning to sort myself out for quite a while. And I just kept on getting into that situation where I was, you know, losing a bit of weight. Because I started off massively overweight. So I was 19 stone, which is about 120 kilograms. Mm-hmm. That's where I was. And I was, you know, drinking. I was coming home from work, having, you know, several beers of the evening and having a big meal and then just passing out from that. And I knew I needed to make a change to my lifestyle because it was, you know, it was having a bad effect on my health.
What, apart from the obvious, were there any particular problems that were arising?
Oh, I see what you mean. I mean, I could cope with everything. Everything was fine, but it was, I guess it was, well, one of the main things was I had high blood pressure from the drinking, and I could just feel that, you know, my digestion wasn't very good. And basically, I just didn't feel healthy. I couldn't move about very well. You know, because I work in IT, so often I'd need to be crawling under a desk or something like that. And, you know, with a big stomach, it's it's difficult to do that sort of thing. So, you know, you get out of breath quite easily and that sort of thing. So I knew I needed to do something. And I was sort of in this sort of yo-yo diet situation where I was, you know, I'd get off the beer, try and eat healthily. Maybe lose a bit of weight, but then I would just be back on it again. You know, in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be back on having a few beers. It was just difficult to get out of that cycle. Yeah.
I'm interrupting for a moment to talk to you about this week's podcast sponsor, Superfat. Superfat make macadamia and almond-based closable nut butter pouches, which are certified keto and paleo. They come in a range of 5 flavors, including MCT probiotic, cacao coconut, and nitro coffee MCT. You can also now get the macadamia coconut and cacao coconut in large pouches. And trust me, more is better with this stuff. They are all delicious, but if you don't want to eat anything with sweeteners in them, there are 2 flavors that are perfect for you. The MCD macadamia and probiotics and the macadamia coconut have no sweeteners at all. Just delicious plant fats, protein, and high amounts of fiber, a dynamic trifecta to help keep you feeling full longer. You've probably realized that they are great if you are vegan keto. I know it can be hard to find things that tick both these boxes, but these definitely do. Check them out for yourself at superfat.com and use code DAISY to get 15% off your order. I also have a link on my links page at links.ketowomenpodcast.com, as well as in this week's show notes. Thank you for taking the time out to listen. It really helps me when companies like Superfat partner with the podcast. And I also like sharing great products like this with you. Let's get back now to David. What was the trigger that was different from before, from the typical sort of yo-yo stuff you'd done before, I must give up the beer or whatever it was? I mean, was it the beer that was the main focus, or did you come at it from a different angle this time? Is that what was a bit different?
I knew that I needed to, that was one of the main things that I needed to do, was quit the beer. But in the meantime, I was actually searching online just to see of like any other diets and things that were out there.
What was your diet like before? Was it your typical average, fairly carb heavy diet?
Yeah, exactly. It was the typical, there wasn't the diet also included, you know, I would have pasta, I would always have toast in the morning. I love like having toast and Marmite in the morning, so I'd have a couple of slices of toast and Marmite. And of course, my mum used to bake fresh bread, and so I started doing that as well. So I used to bake, you know, a fresh loaf of bread, and I would have that. You know, that would keep me going for a bit, but then, you know, you'd feel hungry again. And then typically for lunch, I would just have sandwiches or something like that, you know, and then in the evening, it will be, you know, pie and chips, just the usual sort of thing that you'd have over here in England, you know, or a big pasta dish. So I'd be eating quite a lot of food as well.
It's no wonder you pass out, really.
That's right.
All those carbs. So you throw in the beer as well. It's a
that's
recipe
right, yeah,
for
just to,
sleep, isn't it?
Just to add insult to injury, yeah. Just add the extra carbs on top, yeah.
So you were doing some research online. Is that what led you down the keto track?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I came across several people that were talking about this one meal a day thing that interested me quite a lot. And I thought, gosh, this is a good way to go. But it wasn't actually what I started doing, but it was something that I was interested in doing. So I was researching more and more. And then I came across somebody called Dr. Berg. Mm-hmm. He's over in America. He does a YouTube channel. And he promotes keto and intermittent fasting. And I was just amazed, you know, how he described how easy it was to stay on the keto diet. And he had all these people phoning in because he has a weekly show. You know, they were phoning in with their success stories and saying how much weight they'd lost and, you know, how much better they felt and how easy it was. And I thought, wow, this is great. I've definitely got to try this. That's when it all started, basically, yeah.
And so how did you start? What was your typical starting menu? A lot of us just kick off with the good old bacon and eggs. And how has that developed over, you know, so it's been just over a year now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I see a lot of people, you know, the way they start and the way they end up, they have a bit of a transformation as they go.
Yeah, I guess it was. I mean, I started off, you see, I was already tried out a low-carb diet before, and I had started baking this low-carb bread, actually.
I was wondering if you were going to be one of the people. I was quite interested. I think a lot of people who are interested in cooking and baking in particular are the types that like to get into the alternatives. I think especially if you're really trying to hold on to them, but also just from the inventive side.
That's right, yeah. And I'd come across, I don't know if you heard of Rose Elliott, but she wrote this book about basically low carb. I think it's very similar to the keto diet, but she had this bread recipe that I was using for a while because I found, like, instead of having a normal bread, I would have that and I wouldn't be so hungry in the morning. Like, you know, normally I'd be hungry, you know, at 10 o'clock or whatever. But with this bread, I didn't feel hungry until, you know, lunchtime or something. Mm-hmm. So I did start off with that, having that bread. But then the typical advice from Dr. Berg was to do the healthy keto diet. So some of the ingredients in there contained gluten and stuff like that. So I did want to cut that out. And also he was basically talking about starting off cutting down to 3 meals a day. And then 2 meals a day. So actually starting to do more intermittent fasting. So basically, in the end, I basically went for his advice that was to eat, you know, large amounts of salad or vegetables every day. So he was saying, you know, have 7 to 10 cups of salad or vegetables a day. After a while, I just stopped having that bread for breakfast. And then I just basically had a salad for lunch. So I'd make like a healthy salad for lunch. And then an evening meal. That's how I got on it. And of course, at the same time, I had to make the definite decision just to cut down on the drinking. So I wasn't drinking every night on top of that as well. So that was one of the hardest things for me was cutting out the drinking. But I think I found combining it with doing the keto diet did help.
Yes, absolutely. I was chatting to someone about this the other day, actually, how...
Yeah.
How people really underestimate the impact that drinking can have, especially if they don't think of themselves as drinking very much. But even, say, a couple of beers or a glass or two of wine, say, every day, it's that never giving your body a rest from it at all. I mean, ideally, you give yourself a much bigger rest than that. But even a couple of days a week is better than nothing, I think. I don't know if you found that your tolerance for alcohol went down. I know a lot of people find that when they start keto, that actually they certainly can't drink as much anymore. And a lot of people really don't feel like drinking much at all.
Yeah, I mean, now I don't really drink that much at all. If I was going to have a drink, it would just be, you know, a couple of glasses of wine or whatever. You know, nothing, not a lot. So Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting what you were saying about Dr. Berg. It's one of the points that I hear so often, this whole 7 to 10 cups of vegetables, which sounds like an awful lot to me. And I know it's a stumbling block, actually, that I find a lot of people have with his information, that does seem a huge amount of vegetables.
Yeah.
And that a lot of people on keto don't eat that much. Apart from anything else, it's actually the carb content can stack up if they need to keep their carb content really low to get the benefits of ketosis. But I just saw a slightly different perspective there, as using it as a transition, going from high carb and trying to just get you over that hump of perhaps getting rid of some of the carb alternatives like the bread, of actually, you know, ramming yourself full of these 7 to 10 cups of vegetables is actually quite a good, a bulk filler transition phase. Yeah. It just gave me a slightly different light to see it in there.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Dr. Berg's argument is that you get a lot of nutrition from the vegetables and salad and stuff like that, especially if you're, you know, if you've got problems with your liver and stuff like that, which typically if you are, you know, if you're overweight and drinking regularly, you'll probably have, you know, a fatty liver and stuff like that. So, and consuming the cruciferous vegetables and salads and stuff like that is sort of cleansing for your liver. That's basically his take on it. I do still eat quite a lot of salad and vegetables, but maybe not. Yeah, I still eat a large bowl of salad, and I make a little dish of vegetables. So, yeah, I still try and keep that in the diet. Yeah.
Well, I heard you mentioned actually in one of your podcasts, the introduction, that you were quite interested in finding out about vegan keto even. So that's quite a challenge.
Yes, it is very challenging indeed. Although I'm not vegan or even vegetarian, you know, obviously trying to cut down on meat consumption, a lot of the time I do actually make salads that are actually vegan or vegetarian, depending. So yeah, definitely it is. I guess it is possible. It's just with the vegan side of things, you are limited as to the amount of choice of foods that you've got to choose from. And if you know, some people, like, you know, a great food to have is like avocado and things like that. Avocado, maybe olives and things like that. But, you know, sometimes people don't like the certain things like this. Oh, no, I don't like avocado. And then you're cutting out quite a large portion of your diet there.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? That you could argue, well, it's a fact, really, that keto is a restrictive diet of sorts.
Yeah.
But then if you start restricting it down even more, and probably the most restrictive you can get would be to go vegan keto.
Yeah.
It's like you say, it's just that your choice is so, so limited.
Yeah.
The people I've seen who have done it successfully, and there are people that do, are just very on the ball with making sure they get the biggest variety they can. But the fact of the matter is that you will have to supplement to a certain extent as well. The woman I'm thinking of, who an orthopedic surgeon who is vegan keto, who interestingly enough got to it via carnivore.
Okay.
She was very much just looking for the best way from a health point of view of what suited her body, rather than perhaps the more typical ethical question approach. And she ended up with vegan via carnivore, which seems quite crazy.
Yeah.
But she was saying that ultimately you have to supplement, I think she said, omega-3 and B12.
Yeah.
And so for me, when it's so restricted and you have to supplement, that just makes it something that's, yeah, you've got to be really up for a challenge, but certainly interesting. I found it very interesting talking to her and all the different kind of food sources she mixes into her diet to make sure
definitely.
She does get enough.
Well, I mean, the vitamin B's that I use nutritional yeast, and that's got loads of vitamin B's in it, and you can just sprinkle that on your salad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the omega-3 oils that you're talking about, where would you get that from then?
Well, that's where it gets quite difficult. I think there are vegan omega-3s that you can use now. But yes, that's where all these things, it just starts getting more and more difficult. Yeah. But interesting challenge, if nothing else.
Yeah.
I was thinking of trying it for a while just to see how difficult it would be. But
yeah, just to see. Well, you see, my brother's vegetarian, and I was brought up on eating quite a lot of vegetarian food as well. So, you know, I've been trying to help him as well, and I've found some good supplements that vitamin D3 and K2. It's all vegan supplement, so I'll get him to take that.
I think it's a lot easier vegetarian,
yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, if you're carrying on to eat dairy. I mean, you know, a bountiful source,
yeah,
of D and K via dairy. So I think it depends how much you're limiting things you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you keep the widest variety possible in any form of keto you're doing, it seems to work quite well. We've gone off on a bit of a tangent there.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about the changes. You must obviously have seen some dramatic changes in the year you've been doing it to your health and your weight and the other things that you said that you started it for.
Well, I've lost a lot of weight now, and I weigh just about 72 kilograms, I think about 12 stone or something like that now. So yeah, I've lost quite a lot of weight. I've got a lot more energy now. Yeah, I just feel just so much better. And like I was saying before, you know, I can just get into all sorts of positions that I wouldn't be able to before, you know, crawling under a desk or just crouching down and doing things like that. It's just such a difference. I just feel so much better.
It's things like that, isn't it, that really does make the big difference in your day to day.
Oh yeah, definitely. And also, you know, I would get aches in my joints and stuff like that, you know, from carrying a lot of weight and other things like that, you know, those sort of aches and pains have sort of gone away. And, you know, I feel a lot more alert as well, more on the ball as well, just able to remember things better, you know.
So it sounds like it was quite an easy, straightforward journey. It brings to mind the typical complaints that often come from women in particular. When they see men start these things, they drop weight like a stone, and they seem to find it very easy, where their female counterparts are often struggling a bit to catch up.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess it was, for me, I guess it was quite easy, but then I did follow it quite strictly. And of course, I did start doing the intermittent fasting, which I think helps quite a lot with the weight loss. And in fact, at one point I was doing 1 meal a day. And in fact, because I was trying to lose as much weight as possible when I was going to go away for the summer holidays, I was actually doing what Dr. Bo was saying, was just do keto on steroids, which is just like basically just having one meal every second day. I mean, it is quite extreme, and you wouldn't want to just rush into it.
Yeah, well, it's quite a successful method. I mean, a lot of people get into it, alternate day fasting, basically.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So at that peak weight loss, I was losing about a kilogram a week, I think, which was, yeah. So,
but that's where I see, like, that was my comment, where I see a lot of women, especially who are doing all the same things and really struggling to drop weight. So they they get somewhat irked by when they see these men doing the same thing and having very different results. But I mean, you know, but good for you. It's obviously, it's obviously worked very well, and it's something that you enjoy. I mean, I think that's the big difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, any diet, any dramatic change in what you're eating will have the result you're looking for from a weight loss point of view.
That's
but
right, yeah.
It's being able to stick to it, it's being able to turn it into a lifestyle, a long-term way of eating, that I think is the biggest difference. Because if you can't enjoy what you're eating, I mean, that's presumably is what happened to you every time before,
yeah,
when you tried it for a couple of weeks and then just went back to your old habits.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, like you say, basically I've made it my lifestyle now, you know, even though now I'm basically, you know, I've reached my optimum weight, you know, I don't really need to lose any more weight as such. I'm still eating the keto diet, you know, I'm still sticking to it basically.
And what does it look like now? What does your keto look like today?
Well, I mean, I probably normally just have the same sort of meal all the time, but I mean, I do vary it slightly, and I have sort of been experimenting. So, I mean, at the moment, I'll still be doing intermittent fasting. So I'll be doing 16-8. So that'll be, normally I'll have two meals a day. Mm-hmm. So I'll have one meal at sort of lunchtime, one meal in the evening. My lunchtime meal will normally just be a large salad. So that will have avocado. I normally have nutritional yeast. I'll put a bit of sauerkraut in there as well for the digestion. And then just the usual salad bits, you know, like cucumber, tomato and salad leaves and stuff like that. So that will be my sort of typical salad lunch. And of course, depending if you're going vegan, then I'll put in there some organic tofu, which I can get from the supermarket. And obviously vegetarian, then I'll put in there, you know, cheese. So I'll have some goat's cheese or whatever, and some other cheeses and stuff, whatever. That'll be the lunch. And then the evening meal, I make these little dishes of vegetables at the beginning of the week. So I'll have six of those, and that will just have mushrooms, cauliflower, broccoli, and like grated cheese on top. And I'll just stick that in the oven and have that with some cooked meat, maybe a burger and some fried eggs or some fish. That would be the evening meal.
So yeah, keep it simple. And you're one of these people who likes to do your prep ahead of time, get nice and organized so it's all ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I'll probably have, I mean, recently I've been having like making my sort of own desserts and stuff. I guess it's not really a dessert. I'll just get a bowl of yogurt and put some stevia in there, sweetener, and just some 100% dark chocolate and some blueberries or something like that. Mm-hmm. And just have that as a dessert. And then I came across these keto macaroons at the shop, which were really interesting, and they're quite expensive. So I thought, oh, I'll make my own.
I bet.
I'll make my own. And it looks like quite a good, I haven't yet made them, but I think I might start having those instead, just to cut down on the sugar content. But basically they've just got coconut flakes just melted down with coconut oil and cocoa powder. You melt that down and just stick it in the, make little balls of them and stick it in the fridge. And then you've got some little keto dessert. So yeah, I am experimenting with things and trying different stuff. But yeah, most of the time I just stick to the same sort of thing. And I just enjoy eating that.
It sounds like those things I used to like as a kid. They used to think of as coconut macaroons, and they were like little sort of rounded pyramids of, I think it was made with, it must have been probably egg white. It would have been sugar, obviously, then, but you might be able to sub that. And desiccated coconut, I think. And they were quite...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I always said. The little mounds, weren't they? I think they might have even had a cherry on the top or something.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to quite like those. They feel like they'd be keto-fiable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's loads of recipes out there because I was checking it out on that one. So, yeah, definitely.
And they did. They used to have a little bit of dark chocolate on the bottom, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's right. Dark chocolate on the bottom, coconut mound and a little cherry on the top.
Yeah.
Childhood memories. My mother hated them, I seem to remember, but I really liked them. So tell me about the other things that you've been doing, because it sounds like this new health kick has been coming in different directions, but it sounds like you've been doing a lot of physical things on the side as well.
That's right. Well, I was getting seriously motivated, and I've always wanted to like set up a YouTube channel or something like that. And basically, I've just started a new podcast, Northfields.space, self-empowerment. So I recently went on a accelerator course at the London Real Academy. I don't know if you've heard of them, but basically they just help you to get your podcast off the ground and and that. So,
oh, yes, actually, I have heard of him. I forget the guy's name, but I've
Brian
seen
Rose.
Him on Facebook. That's the one, yeah.
It's quite an intense course, I have to say.
It
really gets you, you really have to, you know, get going with it and start your podcast. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. And I've just been trying to get that off the ground now and start a new sort of health and well-being business as well. So, yeah, watch this space. We'll see how it goes.
Watch this space, the Northfield space.
That's right, yes.
I see a lot of people, a lot of the guests I have on the show, that they found that it's been such a transformation in their own lives and they've got such a passion for it that they do find that they want that to spill over and become more of their work life as well. So it does seem to be a common theme, which is good because it gets the message out there to more people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's probably what sparked it up because, you know, where I work, so many people just saw, they were just inspired by the transformation that I'd gone through. They started asking me, you know, can you help me out, you know, with the weight loss and everything? And I'm pretty sure there's loads of people now that have actually started doing the keto diet or something, you know, just from seeing me, you know. It's just amazing.
It's got quite popular. It's certainly popular in the States, but it's getting more known and more popular in the UK, isn't it? My brother sent me a box of stuff for birthday, Christmas. I can't remember where he'd been shopping in London, but there were all sorts of keto-friendly foods in it he'd put together. Yeah. There does do seem to be, I mean, obviously, from a simple point of view, you don't need any of these products. It's pretty basic what you need to do. But I think when it gets into that more popular sphere and you start to see products on the shelves and more people start talking about it, it just helps with the whole familiarity with that way of eating that gets people interested in finding out a bit more.
Yeah.
There seems to be a progression in the last few years. The growth and popularity of keto has gone off the charts, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We were speaking a little bit before we started recording and I was looking at a few things on your website. You say that you're interested in Qigong and breathing, meditation. You mentioned cold showers. I asked you if you're another one of these people who are interested in the Wim Hof method. That's come up a couple of times on the podcast. I must admit it's something I keep meaning to try myself, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty of the cold showered side, I wimp out.
Yes, it is a difficult thing to get into, but I basically have a cold shower every morning, pretty much. Yeah. And I think the Wim Hof method, basically, that's the breathing technique that just helps you deal with the shock of getting into the cold shower. I don't like being cold at all. Do you know? I'm warm-blooded just like anybody else. I don't like being cold, but I know that there are benefits to exposing yourself to hot and cold. So that's why I like, I've also recently started going to the sauna as well. I'll go to the sauna, you know, at least 3 times a week or even more. And then after the sauna or in between, I'll have a cold shower as well. And yeah, also just in the morning when I'll have a hot shower. And then just the last 2 minutes, I'll dive into a cold shower and just remembering to breathe. The Wim Hof method, I think, is quite a specific type of breathing technique. And it sort of gets you quite riled up because it's, I think it's sort of fast breathing when you're like this. And I've been looking quite a lot at this one chap who was talking about just breathing through your nose rather than doing that sort of, because if you're doing that sort of, you know, that sort of gets you going quite excited state. And I've basically been doing this more sort of calm breathing at the moment. So it's not actually the Wim Hof method. So just before I dive into the cold, I'll just breathe in and out through my nose. So take some deep breaths and just try and relax and then go into the shower. That's how I manage it, basically.
I wonder if that's the guy. It's an episode that I haven't listened to yet. I don't know if you listen to Rangan Chatterjee's podcast. I noticed one of his recent episodes was all about breathing through the nose. And it just made me think, I wonder if it's the same guy talking about that.
It might be, yeah. I can't remember the name of the chap. It was actually, he was interviewed on the by Brian Rose at London Real. I should really remember his name. But he was basically saying how important breathing through your nose is. And in fact, your nose is for breathing, your mouth is for eating and talking. That's what he said, basically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because you have the built-in filters, don't exactly. you, in your nose. I remember reading about this before. Mm. And some people actually sort of go to the extreme, especially at night, of taping their mouth shut, don't they?
That's
to really
right.
get into the habit of breathing
exactly.
through your nose.
Yeah.
We'll have to look up and see if it's the same guy. I'll put it in the show notes.
But yeah, definitely.
Yes, that's obviously an episode that I need to listen to.
Yeah.
But yes, I can remember reading about the breathing when I was doing cold water swimming.
Yeah.
It just ended up as being cold water swimming. There's a lake fairly near me that I like to go into the summer. And I just carried on going as it got further and further. I didn't end up going all through the winter, which is what I'd originally planned to do. I think I went away to the UK. And then when I came back, it was too much of a shock. Actually, with the progression, I went down to, I think, 8 degrees. It was in November. I was still swimming in the lake, but because I progressed down from it starting up in the 20s and it just gradually got colder and colder every week, it didn't feel too much of a shock. But I can remember reading it was really about from a safety point of view of swimming in cold water, because obviously if it was talking about when you get that cold shock, your natural inclination is to have a sharp intake of breath, which obviously you can imagine the potential if you're in the middle of a lake or something. That's when people get into real trouble and drown, basically. So they were talking about breathing techniques, which was stabilizing that, as you were saying, is just countering that cold shock, isn't it?
Yeah.
So however you get there, that's where you always get this tie-in with the breathing when it goes with the cold water.
Yeah, definitely. I recently went to Helsinki to experience the Finnish sauna, and they had an ice plunge there as well.
Right.
It was quite good because it was, you basically stepped up into it and actually sat down inside so you can actually properly relax. And when I went in there, I think it was about 10 degrees. When I went in there, I was like, suddenly, you know, the shock of it just sitting down in this cold water. But the chap was just like, just remember to breathe. And I was like, oh, yes, of course. And as soon as I started to breathe and just relax into it, it was actually all right, you know. And I think that's the main thing.
It's very exhilarating, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you come out of it, it's the movement, isn't it, of the blood from internal to coming out to your skin. You go all red, don't you? And it's that backwards and forwards movement. It's quite energizing, but it's just a bit of a difficult thing sometimes to get yourself to do it, but you feel good afterwards.
That's right, yeah, definitely.
And so what about these other things you were saying that you like to incorporate strength training every week, and the Qigong, that's more, is that a bit like Tai Chi? Is that
that's
like
right.
sort of slow movement?
Yes, exactly. I did Tai Chi for about 8 years. I went to a local class and that's where I learned Qigong breathing. So yeah, it is. It's basically we did the long form of Tai Chi. And part of that was doing Qigong breathing exercises. I haven't done the actual Tai Chi form recently, but I still do the Qigong breathing because I find that quite relaxing and
So what's specific about that then? Is it part and parcel with movement or is it just a breathing technique?
It's moving as well, yeah. Right. So the Qigong breathing exercises is basically, I mean, the basic one, you just, your hands float up as you breathe in, and then they float down back to down by your side as you breathe out. That's like the first Qigong breathing exercise. And then the other ones incorporate different hand movements. There's all sorts of different ones. I think there's 8 Qigong breathing exercises, and there's also some Qigong circulation exercises. So yeah, it's breathing and movement at the same time. So it gets the idea is it gets the qi energy flowing through your body.
That's definitely something I'd be interested in learning how to do. It seems completely that all it does is have positive benefits for everybody who does it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a great thing to do. And it's just so relaxing. It's almost like meditation.
I was going to say, actually, it really has that combination of movement, breathing, and what was coming to my mind was a very meditative quality to it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's the thing I used to, because I did do just the sort of normal meditation of repeating a mantra. When I was younger, I did find that quite difficult because I'd prefer to do more physical things rather than just going into the mind and just doing something there. So that's what I loved about the Qigong breathing. It was just like a different form of meditation, more sort of physical meditation, I think you'd probably describe it.
That's a great multitasking exercise, really, isn't it? Yeah. You can get all those benefits from one thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's inspired me to, well, it's one of those things that I think would be really good to go and learn with a local lesson or something, to do it with other people and to learn that movement. I struggle with things like that because I live in the middle of nowhere in France, so I don't tend to have local lessons for things like that.
I see, yeah.
Maybe YouTube, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing about it. It is good to have the instruction,
I think,
you know, especially
to learn
from
how
somebody
to
who knows
with, yeah.
to do it properly. I mean, obviously, maybe I could even do it. But an online course. But
yeah. You're right, though. It's that feedback.
Yeah.
I found that with yoga as well, when I've been to yoga classes. It's quite important with a lot of these things to make sure you're doing them right. They're quite gentle movements, but it's quite important that you're doing them right. So I know whenever I've been to a yoga class, that yoga teacher is moving around and just repositioning people slightly, making sure you're doing it the right way. And I can imagine it's a similar thing. Once you've learned it, of course,
yeah,
you've got it there. You can take it home. And
yeah, it's exactly the same with the Qigong breathing. You know, they would just get us to practice just the one exercise, you know, for 10 minutes or even longer. And like you say, they would be going around making sure that your posture is correct and that you're, you know, performing it all exactly right, you know, for the full benefit of it. Yeah, definitely.
So it sounds like there are all sorts of things you're bringing together to help inspire other people. Where can we find you online?
Probably the best place to go is to my website, northfields.space, and on there you'll find links to my podcast and videos and social media as well.
Great. We'll put links in the show notes so people can find in the usual places.
Great.
It's been great talking to you, almost in the same time zone. And
yes, almost.
Talking to a fellow Brit. Recognize that accent. It's always nice. Perhaps you could round us off with a top tip.
A top tip? Well, I guess one of the, although it might not be exactly about keto, I would say one of the most important things that you can do for your health and well-being is to optimize your sleep and get a good night's sleep. That would be one of my top tips, just to help with general health and well-being. And the sort of things, you know, you want to avoid blue light an hour before going to bed. Make sure that you eat your last meal 4 hours before bed. And, you know, if you want to watch telly and do stuff like that, I'd recommend getting some blue blocking glasses as well, just to have an hour or so before bed. So that would be my top tip.
It does make a difference, actually. I've got some software on my laptop called Flux, which takes the blue light out. And it is a marked difference. I occasionally have to disable it I probably shouldn't be doing these things late at night. If I'm doing something like creating a meme for my social media and I want to see the color, I've learned from not doing it when I have to disable the Flux software. Otherwise, I end up with this very strange color coming out. And so I disable it. But the jump between the two, so it obviously really does make a difference on your screen because it jars on your eyes straight away.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, in fact, talking about that, I've got the same software on my laptop as well. So, yeah, I've got that and the blue light filters on the phone as well. But I mean, also you've got the blue light coming from your main lights as well, you know. So just dimming those down as well. And in fact, using the blue light blocking glasses, because you're blocking out the blue light, that actually promotes the production of serotonin, which is the sleep hormone. So that definitely helps.
Yes, I must try that. I'm renowned for having really bad sleep patterns. But obviously some people are stuck in patterns that they can't avoid with their work or, you know, night shift workers and things like that. But like you say, it's important to get enough sleep. It's one of those things that's easier said than done for some people.
Yeah.
But yes, it definitely has a big impact, doesn't it?
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your time with me today, David. It's been a great pleasure.
Yes, it's been brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Great stuff.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowoman. Or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman Podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman Podcast Instagram and Facebook pages and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from Oliver Wendell Holmes. Every now and then, a man's mind is stretched by a new idea or sensation and never shrinks back to its former dimensions. Stay safe, stay sensible, stay kind. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.